Well, Doug was talking about the display here, and this Rogers Golden Syrup can has been around a long time. How many of you remember them? Yeah. And anyway, we were sitting around at the table last Sunday with some of our kids and grandkids, and I said, and you know what? I said, we used to get Jap oranges at Christmas time in a wooden box. And I said, I still have a box. It has an old road race set that I won at a giveaway in our store in Beachy, and it's still got the track in there, and I saved it just because it's old, and both of them are old. Anyway. As I was getting ready, marking in my Bible the scriptures that I wanted to read today, and so that I can find them quicker and easier, I was looking for a bookmark that I was sure I had in my Bible, and I couldn't find it. But it was a bookmark that was given to me by my kids, and it talked about father and what a father is and who a father is. And I have no idea where I misplaced it or what I did with it. But it reminded me of something else. You know you're getting old when your oldest child turns 50. And that realization came on me this summer. And one day, about a week prior to Carla turning 50, I said to Kathy, we should take her out for lunch on her birthday. So I mentioned that. Kathy didn't say anything about it. She was thinking about it. The night before, 11 o'clock, she says, I think we should do what you were thinking. I said, what? Like, now, what was this? I'd been half asleep, you know. And anyway, well, going to take Carla out for lunch. Oh, I said, well, I guess we have to phone and see if that's even a possibility. So in the morning, I got up in the morning and got going and phoned her husband to see if we could. And I said, we'd like to keep it hush-hush so she doesn't know it. And anyway, he didn't do that. But so we drove to Medicine Hat and had lunch. And we were done having lunch, and they had to get back to work and do their things. We turned around and drove home. And people are just kind of like, are you nuts? I said, we waited 50 years to do this. So, you know, we need to do things that we can when we have opportunity. And anyway, that's just a little bit about some of our crazy life. But we've gathered together today to express thanks to God for his many blessings. And it's a special occasion to give thanks. I remember coming many, many years in the old church and then into this one, but when the old church sat here and come for Thanksgiving services, and there would be a morning service and lunch and an afternoon service and then sometimes lunch, I think, too. And it was a full day spent here. And as kids we came, and as teenagers, and even in our married years, we came and celebrated here with the congregation in Lucky Lake. And anyway, I want to ask you, what are some of the things that you're thankful for? What are you thankful for today?
In God's provision.
God's provision?
Our kids.
Your kids?
Kids, friends.
Kids and friends?
The beauty of fall.
The beauty of fall. It's amazing, isn't it?
A wonderful wife.
A wonderful wife. Pardon me? Okay, the health, right? So it's interesting. I wrote down some things here. Well, I didn't write them. I have to type because I have some tremors in my hands, and if I write, I can't even read it. But if I get on the keyboard, I can do it, except that this finger has a permanent kink in it. So sometimes I'm getting letters that I don't really want in there as well, but, you know, the good thing with the computer is you can correct that before you hit print. But anyway, some of the things that we're thankful for, health and strength, even if it is not total health, if it's not total strength, you know, I turned 76 this year, so I know about the total strength, though. strength thing. We're fixing something in the brain. Says, we can still do this, I can do this. And then I hand the wrench to my son and tell him, you tighten it. Because I know that I can't do it. It's just not there like it used to be. For food and clothing, for family and friends, work and relaxation. For a job or an occupation, a business, whatever that might look like for you. Freedom to worship. And Jesus and the new life we can have because of his sacrifice for our sins. God's presence in our life. God's hand of protection. God's wisdom to make sound decisions. God's peace in a time of chaos and turmoil. And God's arms of love to console and to hold us. These are some of the things, the colors, so vibrant. And I remember one of my grandkids was down and was talking about the frost on the window last winter. And I said, yeah, God paints a new picture every morning. He does with the sunrise. And the picture's there, and it changes throughout the day, and then in the evening, the sunset. And God's painting those pictures for us, reminding us that he's there. Reminding us, trust me, I'm faithful. The sun comes up in the morning, and we know exactly when it comes up. It's coming up more at a time that suits me better now than in June. But, you know, it comes up, and it goes down, and we know it goes down what time it's going to set. Imagine if we didn't know that, and it was popping up 3 o'clock in the morning, and then the next day it was 9:30, and, you know, like, how could you do any planning? How could there be anything in our life that looked like anything organized or meaningful? It would be just so stressful. But we know that. Those are givens that God has given us, and those are things that we need to remember and be thankful for, and we are. So I want to begin today with Psalm 100, and I'm going to be looking at a few different places, but I want to start with Psalm 100, and I'm going to read, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." So when we start out there, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. It doesn't just say believers. It doesn't just say white people. It doesn't just say colored people. All the earth, everything. And it's all the earth. We were talking about that. All the colors, everything that's around us. They are shouting to the Lord. And they're shouting for joy. Serve the Lord with gladness. Not because I have to, but serve the Lord with gladness. It's a consciousness that I'm going to serve the Lord, but I'm going to do it gladly. It's not, oh, I have to do that. When I wake up in the morning, oh yeah, I have to serve the Lord today. No. Maybe when we wake up on our lips, there's a song or there's a prayer or something asking the Lord for today and what he's going to do for us. Then come before him. And it's with joyful songs. We were already singing this morning. And it's wonderful to just take those songs and sing them to the Lord and to be joyful while doing it. Sometimes we get singing and, yeah, I know the song, you know, and we're just kind of singing it like this, and we're really not too joyful. We're really pretty expressionless, and we need to be joyful. We need to be allowing the joy of the Lord that is within us to come out with joyful songs. And know that the Lord is God. It's not maybe he's God. It's not I wish he was God. He is God. He is the supreme, all-knowing, heavenly Father. And we are his. Why? Because he made us. That's why we're his. That's pretty special that God made us and that we're made in His likeness, in His image. Now, that's not to say that God looks like you or you or you or a combination of all of us put together into one. That's not what it's saying. It's talking about the personality of God and that we have a personality. We can have a personality like God. It's built into us. We're His people, the sheep of His pasture. And Pastor Mike often would talk about sheep and how dumb they are. Dumb sheep, referring to us as dumb sheep in the congregation. But it's true. And I haven't had a lot to do with sheep. We need to ask somebody who's an expert in the sheep field. But I just can go by what other people say. But God is the shepherd who watches over us, who cares for us and protects us and provides for us. And we heard that this morning in their prayers, that God is good to us. God has been looking after us. God has been taking care of the sheep of His pasture. The whole world is His pasture. It's not just Lucky Lake. Sorry, guys. And it's not just Beachy included there, you know, kind of in that south part. A little bit like we had a Pastor Phil was our interim pastor for a bit after Mike was done. And then he always talked about, like, Corner Gas, you know. There was Corner Gas, and then the neighboring town, he referred to Kyle as Woolerton. Woolerton was a neighboring town, and just, you know, it'd be like Beachy and Lucky Lake or sometimes like that in terms of sports. Well, Lucky Lake, like, we need to beat them, and Lucky Lake thinks they need to beat Beachy, and that competition there. But anyway, it's not a competition in God's world. We're all included. We're all there, and He's watching over all of us. So because God is who He is, verse 4, it says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. And we did that this morning. We entered into this sanctuary. We entered in with thanksgiving. I heard numerous people saying thank you for what God was doing for them. And it's an opportunity and a place for us to give thanks to God and to praise Him for who He is and to praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues forever and ever. And His love is the same today and tomorrow as it was yesterday. It doesn't change. God says, I am the same forever. And He always loves us, and He never gives up on us. And that's a relief, because none of us is perfect. We are still capable of sinning, but God meets us and has provided salvation for us. So then I want to move to Philippians chapter 4. And this scripture came out in the prayer time. Rejoice, beginning with verse 4. Philippians 4, verse 4. And if you can't remember where Philippians is, a good friend of mine told me this is how you remember. Because there's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Just remember, go eat popcorn. That's the order there. So it's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Okay. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always, not sometimes or when it suits me. Oh, I broke a leg. Great. No, I need to rejoice. I didn't break both of them. That something worse didn't happen, right? Could there's, you know, It could always be worse, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Somebody said, 99% of the things I worry about never happen. Therefore, worrying helps. But it doesn't really. It's just that we have 99% of the, if we have something that happened to us, we have 99% that didn't. So we can rejoice. We can be thankful. We can take all of those things and recognize that God is still good. Then on going on there, it says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Who, driving in the city and somebody cuts me off. Ever happened? No, nobody ever drives. You guys all ride bikes and walk. Anyway, my gentleness isn't always there. And my good wife, when she's riding with me, is kind of just settle down. It's okay. And so I have started to think more like this. When I get to a light and I have to sit and wait, then I watch as the cars are taking their turns when the lights are changing. And I begin to pray for the people in those cars. There's a lady who's going home from work, and she's got kids at home or whatever. There's a father going home, a mother, a father, could be a grandparent running errands, trying to think about praying for some of these people while this traffic is moving, instead of getting all wrapped up and, I just need to go, I gotta get there. And so anyway, that's just one of the things that we can do. And I got a long ways to go on this. And it is a statement. Let your gentleness be evident to all. There's no rider or fine print I can get out of this clause. You know, the fine print I can get out of this clause, it doesn't apply to me. No, it's not there. It says, let your gentleness be evident to all. It is a statement. It's not only for the good days and the good situations. It's for every day and all situations. It's a tall order. It's something I'm still working on. Verse 6, do not be anxious for anything. Oh. How do we get by when we're not supposed to be anxious about anything? There are lots of things around us that can cause angst. Lots of things that can really burden us down. I was on armed council many years ago, and there was potential for a prickly situation that could develop, and not of the porcupine or thistle variety either. But anyway, the reeve and the deputy reeve were both anxious about how we're going to deal with the problem, and it involved some strong personalities. And after they did some scheming about how to deal with the situation, I challenged them that we should deal with the issue if and when it arose. And if we would only deal with the truth, we would only deal in the truth, nothing else. This is the truth, this is the truth, this is the truth. We don't go anywhere else. And I was reminded that Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And truth is more powerful than fear and anxiety. It just is. In everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Everything? But I can make my own mind up. I can decide what I want to spend my money on. I can decide where I'm going to go. I can decide what my future is going to look like. I can decide all this stuff. Anyway, my daughter was recently telling me about an experience she had had. They had been having trouble with a vehicle that they were driving, and we're looking for a replacement, and they were praying about this vehicle they were looking for. Well, they were looking, and they ended up with a low-kilometer vehicle at a great price. And after they had bought the vehicle, she shared with some other people in their church, some leadership, about God's answer to prayer for the vehicle. And there were several that said, you don't have to pray for that. It's just a vehicle. We don't need to pray about that. It's just a vehicle. Like, you can decide what kind of car you're going to drive. Anyway, and I also was in a discussion recently with fellow believers, and they said that it was not necessary to wait till the Lord gives you the right car or the tractor or combine or furniture or whatever. And they did not agree with me that if I thought I needed a new car, I could go and buy it. It didn't matter. I didn't even need to ask the Lord. It was kind of what they were telling me. And I challenged them to come for a walk on my yard. And I can tell you a story about how equipment and trucks and all kinds of things came to my farm. And we've been able to purchase used equipment that's lasted for many years. And we have bought that oftentimes far below market price because we've been praying and we've been waiting until God provides. I call it a gift because he knows more about that machine before I buy it than I do. And so even though we're paying for it, it's still a gift from God. Still one of his gifts. One of the things that he gives us. Does it need repairs? Yes, but so do new ones. But God has blessed us with so many gifts that we have paid much less for, and we rejoice in that. And we're just thankful that God has given us the ability to get to that point where, Lord, we need something. What are you going to give us? Where are you going to point us? Where are you going to steer us? What's going to come our way? And then wait and see. And then be surprised and rejoice in it. Yeah, most of you don't want some of my old machinery because it has gotten older and older. But I've moved out of the farming scene, so a lot of that doesn't matter a whole lot anymore. Now that's my son's area. But when we come before the Lord and we present our request to God, he answers, and then it says, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When we lay our needs before our Father in heaven and look to him for our provision, the result is the peace of God. It's in our lives, it's in our hearts. And we can't explain this. It's just there. It's just resting in God's provision, in his goodness, in the fact that he loves me, in the fact that he cares about me, the fact that he's interested in my farm, in my business, in my personal life. He's interested in all these things. And we are so blessed. I'm not trying to tell you that I've got all of this mastered. Not at all. I can also show you a couple of things that I didn't wait for the Lord to say, yes, you can buy it. And I stuck my neck out and bought it. And yeah, it's still sitting there. Never was usable. However, that was learning. That was a lesson to learn as well. So we all have a lot to learn. Then I want to go to Isaiah chapter 12. And it begins there. It's a song of praise, or songs of praise. In that day you will say, I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. So these verses here are really referring to the nation of Israel. And we know the story of Israel, how they turned their back on God and they did their own thing. How many times? Do you know how many, Mike? No. Scripture talks about it over and over and over again. They were taken into captivity. They wandered in the desert. There were so many different things. And yet, it says here, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. God's anger has turned away from Israel when they have repented and have come back to God. Surely God is my salvation. This would be the Israelite speaking. I will trust and not be afraid, because the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. It was only God who could take him out of the situations, whether it was wandering in the desert and take him to the promised land, or whether it was when they were in Babylonian captivity and restore them again. It was only God that was able to do that. And then it says, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. But the part I want to really focus on is the next little part here. In that day, when you recognized and think about that, in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. So give thanks to the Lord, because he is our provider and our sustainer. He's the one that looks after us. We can think, well, I'm a pretty good farmer, you know, like we had a pretty good crop this year. I shouldn't say that. I'm kind of a has-been farmer, but anyway, I still help on the farm. But, you know, we had a pretty good crop this year. You know, we did some good things. But the Lord was the one that provided the rain and the sunshine. The Lord was the one that looked after all of that. It wasn't us. Yeah, we had a job to put the seed in the ground and to do what needed to be done to get it there. My sister always says, she says, I don't know about you farmers, she says, I think you must have a special relationship with God to just be able to trust that you're going to put all this money into the ground, whether it's the chemical and the fertilizer and the seed and the fuel that it takes and the big expense for equipment and all the rest of it, and you do all of this to seed a crop, she said, and you have no idea what you're going to get. And the last few years has been evidence that we are in control of nothing, really. And it's only God's provision for us. So he is our provider and our sustainer. Call on his name. God's waiting for us to call on him. Do you do that as you're going about your work? As you're driving truck? Yeah. You do that when you're sitting out in the combine. There's sometimes I've been out in the field and I'm sitting there and this song goes through my mind. This is holy ground. Because it's what God has given us to farm. This is holy ground. And there's a song, I won't sing that for you, but God's waiting for us to acknowledge him and to call on him. Make known among the nations what he has done. In other words, talk about what God has done for you personally. What has God done for you personally? What are some things that God has done strictly for you? I was traveling with my granddaughter this week. She's curling in Swift Current, and so I was the bus that particular day, and I took her down to Swift Current, and it was great. It was just her and I, and she did her curling, her training part, and then we went for supper and had supper together, and I don't think I've ever done that with her, just her and I. And then she was curling, and then we drove home again. And she got talking about her experiences and how she was experiencing the Lord. And she'd been working at camp this summer and how the things that have happened there. And I was just marveled. Here's a 16-year-old gal who's on fire for the Lord and yet is still struggling with certain things. And there's all kinds of questions in her mind and just trying to figure out how does this all work together that God is in my life. And she's very much a person, and I hope she, don't tell her I said this. She's a very much a person that wants to know what's going to happen now, and now, and now, and like all day long. And so her dad challenged her to just go with the flow, take what comes. And so, yeah, I'll do that. And she's telling me. So we talked about that in the morning. So they were supposed to go to Saskatoon to the orthodontist. And they got to the 7 mile corner over here where you, I think they're at 7 mile corner. They got a phone call from, and they said, you don't need to come because nowadays everything they can, they take pictures and send pictures because she's got some apparatus in her mouth. And they take the picture and send it to them and they can tell you whether you need to set it this way or that way or whatever without going into the orthodontist. So they had reviewed, said, you don't need to come. But she was all geared up to go, and they got just north of Beachy. She had left school and everything to go now. And then they had to turn around, and she had to go back. And she that just really got her. You know, like, this flow thing isn't so good. And she, when she'd gone home in the evening, then her dad had said, well, how did going with the flow work? Well, it didn't. Well, you know, she'd been trusting God that he was going to help her to go with the flow. And she said, and I flunked, you know. But that's the real world. We live in the real world where these things are so real to us, and they attack us, and they cause us to not trust God all of the time. But we really need to tell about the things, God's faithfulness in my life. I need to pass it on to my kids. I need to pass it on to my grandkids and remind them that God is there. God has got your back. God's looking after you. Trust him. Just let him into that part of your life. And it says in John 10, verse 10, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. And that's what God is desiring for us. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Tell the world about Jesus. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And there will be a day when every knee is going to bow. And every knee is going to confess and admit that Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And if you look in our world today, there isn't too much of that acknowledgement by anybody or anything. But it will happen, and we can count on that. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. You know the things that God's done for you. The times he's carried you through sickness and grief and loss, and all of the things that are happening. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let's not just focus on all of the bad things that are around us, all of the things that make us not feel good. Let's focus on God, because he has done a lot of glorious things for us. Maybe we have to write a book and put down all the stuff that God has done. I see Doug's got a journal there that he was writing down prayer requests and things in. Again, I can't write, but I can type. I need to go sit at the computer and I need to record this. And my wife has been after me. She said, you need to write some of this stuff down so that the kids will remember. And some of the stuff I did with my dad, because I farmed with him. And just some of the things that he taught me and showed me. And my observations of who he was. I need to put that on paper so that we can pass it down to the other generations. So that's something I need to work on. Shout aloud and sing for joy. For great is the Holy One of Israel among you. God is here. He's with us. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. And he wants to be a part of our lives. He just wants to take us in. He wants us to take him in. He won't force his way in. But he'll make circumstances such that we'll all of a sudden we'll open up to him. His Spirit works within us and gets us to that point. I want to go back to Philippians chapter 4. We were there earlier. And it says there, it talked about we're not supposed to be anxious. Remember, do not be anxious about anything, but everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So not just our hearts, but our minds This is a big factor in who we become. And then it says that this is the part I wanted to talk to read. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. The mind. Think about these things. These are things we need to focus on. We can think about all the chaos and everything that's going on around us and get consumed by the chaos. But we need to think about these things that are noble and true and right and pure, lovely, admirable, excellent and praiseworthy. These are things we need to think about. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And that's not me. This is coming from the Lord. And the God of peace will be with you. So in other words, do this. Practice this mind exercise. And the God of peace is going to be with us. It's a promise. If we do that, the God of peace will be with you. How many of us are not looking for peace? Maybe you live just for conflict. But most of us don't. Most of us are looking for peace and harmony, whether it's in our homes and in our churches, in our communities, in our relationships with others. We really don't want the conflict stuff. We're looking for peace. And I'm still learning and working to that end, and I have a long ways to go. But you know what? God's not done with me yet. And if he is, then that's his problem. If I'm gone, if I go, then he has to deal with that. That's not my problem. Anyway, there's a song that's been going through my brain as I was thinking about Thanksgiving and especially thinking about coming here to speak today. And it's a chorus that we sing. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. And now let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we thank you, Lord, that you don't see us for the size of our bank accounts. You don't see us for all the things that we possess, for the things we don't possess. You don't see us for how good we behave. But Lord, you see us as a people in need. And you sent Jesus your Son. And we are so thankful for his death on the cross, for his sacrifice for us, that he bled and died for our sin, that we might have a relationship with you. And Father, we are just so grateful and so thankful that you give us strength to live day to day.